From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Judges as he brings the next portion of a message called Ehud, the Man with the Two-Edged Sword. Although God had given Israel great victories in the conquest of Canaan, they soon forgot him and became like the heathen whom they should have destroyed. In the third chapter of Judges, Israel is under the rule of Moab, whose king was a wicked man named Eglon. As the people of Israel cried to the Lord for mercy, God raised up Ehud, a Benjamite who could not accept his nation's powerlessness in the face of the enemy. Ehud was a left-handed man, which was apparently a limitation to a warrior, but he didn't let that stop him from carrying out the Lord's command to deliver Israel by slaying Eglon. Here is a lesson that Christians should not use their limitations as an excuse for not serving God. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Fear Has Its Place. The text is Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway. The fear of the Lord is the beginning and the foundation of all true religion. Without a solemn awe and reverence of God, there is no foothold for the more brilliant virtues. He whose soul does not worship will never live in holiness. He is happy who feels a jealous fear of doing wrong. Holy fear looks not only before it leaps, but even before it moves. It is afraid of error, afraid of neglecting duty, afraid of committing sin. It fears ill company, loose talk, and questionable policy. This does not make a man wretched, but it brings him happiness. The watchful sentinel is happier than the soldier who sleeps at his post. He who foreseeth evil and escapes it is happier than he who walks carelessly on and is destroyed. Fear of God is a quiet grace which leads a man along a choice road, of which it is written, No lion shall be there, neither shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. Fear of the very appearance of evil is a purifying principle, which enables a man, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to keep his garments unspotted from the world. In both senses, he that feareth alway is made happy. Solomon had tried both worldliness and holy fear. In the one he found vanity, in the other happiness. Let us not repeat his trial, but abide by his verdict.
Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what the message of each New Testament book really is? Not just the meaning of a phrase, a text, or even a chapter, but the central message of the entire book. If so, we are happy to offer you the opportunity of obtaining a means of doing just that. A number of years ago, Dr. Cairns preached a series of messages in which he explained the teaching of each of the New Testament books. The series was published in a book called A Sure Foundation. These messages let you grasp the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. A Sure Foundation tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak still has a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. To reserve a copy, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Request your copy of A Sure Foundation today.
Ehud was a warrior. Ehud was a Benjamite. We read that he was left-handed. Actually, that tells me he was a limited man. Now, if you're left-handed, don't get all upset with me. I say that deliberately. He was limited. The words in the Hebrew Bible here mean simply that he was shut or impeded of his right hand. Now, that may mean that, quite simply, he was left-handed. But there are other ways to put that, and they occur later in the Bible. The word means shut. If it weren't for the fact that in chapter 20, you have 700 Benjamites who are described in the very same words, I would suspect that he was crippled in his right hand. But I don't think that all 700 of those Benjamite warriors could have been crippled. So it has the strong probability that it's saying he was left-handed. But I think he was left-handed because, probably from lack of exercise or practice with that hand, it was really useless for the battle. But whatever the reason for him being said to be shut in his right hand, he was shut there. He was impeded, as the word indicates. He was impeded of his right hand. He was deficient in his right hand. But he made up for the deficiency of that hand with the skill of the other hand. You see, too often, what we are not and what we cannot do becomes an excuse to do nothing. I can't do this, so therefore I'll not do that. It doesn't make very good logic, but that's the way we operate. I am not like he is or she is, therefore I do nothing. In other words, we want to be supermen before we're willing to be any kind of man for God. But this whole book of Judges will show you that the Lord uses ordinary and indeed limited men. Limited instruments for his glory in defeating the enemy. Here we read in chapter 3 of him using the man shut of his right hand. In verse 21, he uses an ox goad. In chapter 4, he uses two women. In chapter 4, again, he uses a nail to bring down a great military commander. In chapter 7, he uses pitchers and trumpets. In chapter 9, he uses an old woman throwing a bit of a millstone to break the head of Abimelech. In chapter 15, he uses the jawbone of an ass. Right through this book, there are seven occasions where the Lord uses the weak things to do his will and confound his enemies. The same is true, of course, in the New Testament scriptures. You all know the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. You see your calling, brethren. And he goes on to tell you of the people who are not often called. And then he says, God hath chosen. This is not an accident. This is divine foreordination. It has a very good purpose to it, in order that no flesh should glory in his sight. In order that anybody who boasts should boast in the Lord. I believe Christians should be the most boastful of people in all the world. The only difference between the Christian and the world is the world boasts of itself. The Christian boasts of his Savior. And if Christians would glory in the Lord, man, it would make a big difference to their testimony. How do you glory in the Lord? You see your calling. God hasn't chosen the wise. He's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak to confound the things that are mighty. He's chosen the base. He's chosen the things that are nothing to bring to naught the things that are. It's always been that way. When you read the history of Europe, at the time of the Great Reformation, you'll find that there were great dynasties and aristocratic families that were battling in France, in Italy, in the Papal States, in the Holy Roman Empire, as the German states were called. And they were carving up Europe among them. And my, they were having a wonderful time of power politics. Then arose by the power of God, the son of a miner. And he shook the world. His name was Martin Luther. About the same time over in Switzerland, God raised the son of a shepherd. And Switzerland was moved for God under the preaching of Ulrich Zwingli. A generation later, God suddenly converted the son of an obscure secretary of a Roman Catholic bishop. And John Calvin formed the Reformation into an unstoppable movement by the power of God. While Scotland and England felt the power of the preaching of a John Knox, the son of a plain, ordinary Scottish burgess. You don't need to be a superman to be used of God. You may say, Lord, I don't have this ability and I don't have that ability. Lord, I don't have a brilliant brain. You may say like Moses, Lord, I don't have the gift of easy and ready speech. He says, my son, give me thy heart. There are things you cannot do. I want to tell you there are things that you can do for God. Ehud's right hand was useless. But Ehud's left hand, my, it was mighty for God. What made Ehud special was that he was burdened and appointed by the Lord to use what he had for God. And to go right in and storm the enemy at his strongest point. Now it took courage. Ehud had no means of knowing that Eglon would put out all his bodyguards and courtiers. In fact, it was a most unlikely situation. Ehud was taking on more than a one-handed warrior could possibly hope to take on successfully. Ehud was appointed of God to go in, limited though he was, alone though he was, into the strongest point of the enemy's territory. And he did it. There were thousands of other people in Israel, and they were groaning as Ehud groaned. And they were praying. That's good. But the tragedy is that having groaned and sighed and prayed, they were still content to pay up and suffer and let the enemy go on. They were not confronting the forces of their foes. And I think that that's the kind of special man, therefore, the Lord is looking for. The kind of special servants the Lord is looking for in this meeting tonight. Oh, all over America there are Christians groaning about the situation. They're groaning about the political situation. They're groaning about the moral situation. And they have a right to groan. But having groaned, they will pay their tribute. And that's the end of it. The special man or woman for God will be the Ehud who will go again. Who will storm the battlements of hell. Who will take the gospel right into the strongholds of the devil. And who by faith in Jesus Christ will conquer. That's the warrior the Lord is looking for among the young men in this meeting. That's the warrior God is looking for. Yes, among the young women in this meeting. And among the old people in this meeting. There's no discharge in the war for God. You never reach the stage where you can't be a soldier anymore. God is looking for that special person who believes God enough to say, I'm going to take the gospel and face the devil with it, and by the grace of God, I'm going to have the victory that God has promised. It's the warrior. Now, very quickly, his weapon. Verse 16. Ehud made him a dagger or a sword which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right side. His choice of weapon was a two-edged sword. Do I need really to spend time to apply that to God's people? What is the choice weapon? What is that weapon of which we will say, as David said of Goliath's sword, there is none like that, give it me? We read in Ephesians 6:17 that you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We read in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is quick and powerful, or living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We read in 2 Corinthians 10:4 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Yet the church of Jesus Christ is choosing every other weapon but the weapon of God's Word. Oh, we have dreamed up this method and the other method. God has never promised to bless anything but His Word. Now, God may well bless efforts that are made. He may well bless things that are done. And we thank Him for it. But I have no promise in Scripture that says God is going to bless anything but the choice of this book as His, as our weapon. The choice of weapon is the sword. His practice with the weapon is very evident. He knew how to use it. I have already detailed how he used it with precision. He knew exactly how to use this weapon. He knew the very angle at which to insert that weapon. He had the force and the power to put it in. This was not the first time that Ehud had practiced with this sword. Oh, it was the first time he had a chance to apply it to an Eglon. But nonetheless, this was a man who was obviously well practiced in the use of his two-edged sword. And therein, you have the reason for the impotence of so many of God's people. Christians should be expert in that book. And yet I find that there is a great ignorance of Scripture. I find that Christians don't read the Bible. Now, I'm not going to lay great burdens that you can't bear to say you have got to read 34 chapters a week or a day or whatever. I realize that people are different. I personally read very, very slowly. That's probably because of some limitations. This poor man was shut in his right hand. I think I have one part of the brain shut down, and so therefore I read very, very slowly. And I tend to read and then read it again, go over a sentence 3 or 4 times. That doesn't make for fast reading. And you may be of that way. You may find that you can't live up to the calendar of Bible readings. But I would say, with all your limitations, that it would be a good thing for Christians to set out and say, well, at least for this 1 year, and maybe if you do it 1 year, the Lord will burden you to do it the second and third. At least for this 1 year, I'm going to read this Bible from cover to cover. You can do it. We can get you copies of Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading calendar, and you'll read the whole Bible through. You'll read the New Testament twice and the Psalms twice in the period of one calendar year, reading approximately 4 chapters a day.
You You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.